What would happen if instead of composing predetermined assignments, college composition students could compose whatever they want to compose? What would happen if students could set their own deadlines and grade their own work? Find out as Assistant Professor Mason Joyner and I explore these questions with a few of our fellow English department colleagues. I'm Monica Mankin, and this is the English 101 Experiment. Well, welcome to the English 101 Experiment podcast. This is our final episode of season one. I'm Monica Mankin, Associate Professor of English here at Delgado Community College.
And my name is Mason Joyner. I'm an Assistant Professor of English at Delgado Community College.
And I think we're just here to maybe reflect.
Reflect and wrap up.
Reflection session. Mm-hmm. So I thought I would start us off with reading the poem Failing and Flying that I know we've referenced at different points during our podcast discussions. And this poem is one that we like to introduce to our students at the beginning of the semester as a way of encouraging growth mindset, to just give them a different perspective of failure.
Absolutely. And not only that, it starts them off, I think, on a good step towards active reading as well.
Right.
Because, you know, let's read the poem and we'll talk about it after.
Uh-huh. Okay, right. So this is Failing and Flying by Jack Gilbert. Everyone forgets that Icarus also flew. It's the same when love comes to an end or the marriage fails and people say they knew it was a mistake, that everybody said it would never work, that she was old enough to know better. But anything worth doing is worth doing badly. Like being there by that summer ocean on the other side of the island while love was fading out of her, the stars burning so extravagantly those nights that anyone could tell you they would never last. Every morning she was asleep in my bed like a visitation, the gentleness in her like antelope standing in the dawn mist. Each afternoon I watched her coming back through the hot stony field after swimming, the sea light behind her and the huge sky on the other side of that. Listened to her while we ate lunch. How can they say the marriage failed? Like the people who come back from Provence when it was Provence and said it was pretty, but the food was greasy. I believe Icarus was not failing as he fell, but just coming to the end of his triumph.
Excellent.
I've read it enough times now, right? Like, but it just doesn't get old.
It doesn't.
Yeah.
And I think maybe we've even said this before in reference to this poem, how when I first read it and thought about bringing it to the classroom, I thought, I don't know, is this too, is it not educational enough? You know, like, is it too... The stuff about, you know, she every morning she awoke in my bed like a visitation. Like, is that too adult for our classroom?
Yeah, it's all too
those
risque,
kind of too risque,
too sexy.
But man, students love talking about love.
They do, and I think particularly, I noticed my students were really able to grab on to that main theme with looking at it when a relationship ends, not so much as a failure, but that there's like, we focus too much on the ending, I think sometimes in that context where it's like, but what about all the beauty and the love that existed while it was at kind of its height, you know?
And endings are always subjective, right? There's always more to the story.
Yeah, so not to talk endlessly about the poem, which I know we could probably do, but I wanted to start our conversation today with that as kind of a way of opening the door to reflecting on our own our own failing and our mm-hmm. own flying mm-hmm. during this past year yeah. as we have worked with our students through this experiment. So I'm wondering, Mason, like what was maybe one of the greatest triumphs that you experienced? And also, were there any points at which you were like, no, I'm definitely falling out of the sky right now?
Triumphs. I think this semester overall for me has felt a lot more triumphant than last semester. And I think part of it I know is, you know, dumb luck, of course. but part of it is I think owing to some of the changes I made between last semester and this semester. One triumph is I got the classes started off on a better foot, like understanding I know we've talked about how we overuse this word, but the rigor of the course, I think setting a tone for more
gravitas.
Some gravitas. I started with more gravitas. Thank mm-hmm. you, Andrew Gibbs.
Yeah.
That was a big triumph, and I think that led to more triumphs throughout the semester, just starting with more gravitas. At this point, it's always at the end where you realize, you know, what I didn't get to, mm-hmm. What I didn't leave myself enough time for. Mm-hmm. And one of those things is this, something you and I sort of just started talking about here in the last few weeks, is treating their self-evaluative essay at the end like a self-interview, and I'm trying that out. Mm-hmm. And looking at their rough drafts of those self-interviews, yeah, I think I should have budgeted more time at least enough for an in-class workshop of those interviews. I think it's just, but at this point, it feels like it's becoming more like tweaking than well, let me try this instead.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, to just start with the last thing that you mentioned, like I do feel like we kind of ran out of time as well, so that their self-evaluation or final reflection essay mm-hmm. is not going to be workshopped mm-hmm. in the way that the other writing that they've done this semester has been. But at the same time, I think that's okay because they should know how to ask for feedback now, and mm-hmm. if they want it, they know where to get it, and
true.
They can do that on their own time. I mean, that's something that they're going to be expected to do
yeah.
later on. Mm-hmm. So I think that that's okay. I think we had kind of opposite experiences. I felt like last semester for me was definitely more triumphant. In this mm-hmm. semester, I was definitely like, ooh, my wings are melting.
Yeah.
And I think it's because I started differently as well. Mm-hmm. But I think starting the way that I did, perhaps, especially for my 8 o'clock class, I don't think it set them up for understanding the metaphor of the Rumi quotation of, mm-hmm, you know, if you walk, I just think they weren't taking attendance as seriously as they needed
yeah.
to. And I think it's because we didn't just start with project development and kind of diving right into that.
Yeah.
I think that that created a different level of engagement last semester that I think I'm going to return to that in the fall.
Yeah.
Yeah. As well as some other tweaks mm-hmm. and things here and there.
I talked to a student about this today who was involved, what I thought was a triumph that, well, you know, we came to the end of our triumph. I don't know if you've experienced this, but I think this experiment has opened the door for students to get a lot closer to each other.
Yes.
So experienced that in a big way in one of my classes. I think I shared with you the anecdote a few weeks ago. One student leaves the classroom and says, all right, bye, love y'all.
Yeah.
and I loved that. And so there was, you know, a group of students who got particularly close mm-hmm. and would, you know, they were helping out with each other's kids.
Oh, wow.
And, you know, like they were,
yeah, it was extending beyond the classroom.
Way beyond the classroom. Mm-hmm. And that relationship turned mm-hmm. and created a kind of a split and an awkwardness in the classroom. And I have no idea how I am supposed to handle that. I've talked to all the students, or really, they've come to me to talk about it. and everyone is handling it professionally. You know, like we're progressing towards the end of the semester as planned. And, you know, lessons have been learned, social lessons have been learned.
Right.
Nobody's dropped because of it, which I'm grateful for.
Right.
But that was something that that felt like, yes, my wings were melting, where I thought we were flying so high. And then, you know, but I'm also not sure what that means for me adjustments wise, or if it has anything to do with me.
Right. I think that's a great question that maybe we can continue to explore, because this is still relatively new. And we do, I think, a lot more community building mm-hmm. in our classes in a lot of different ways. And there will be, I think, just more reality checks mm-hmm. involved with that.
Yeah.
I really love hearing, though, that your students have maintained a kind of collegiality.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that they're not taking, you know, they're not having their personal drama air during class time.
Right.
That's really a testament to either kind of the expectations and norms that you all mm-hmm. established together. Mm-hmm. And these are just like really emotionally intelligent students,
yes.
which is great.
A combination probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah.
Well, you mentioned, you know, what are we going to talk about in the future? And so that's something I think that we want to talk about a little bit in this episode, is what we're looking forward to in our next season, maybe in our next iteration of the experiment. Why don't we start there, actually? Do you have any specific ideas for tweaks? You mentioned going back to something that you tried before.
Right. Well, I think definitely with my English 101, I want to just dive right into project development like we did. Mm-hmm. I want to get that action plan going right away.
Yeah.
I'm going to go back to 4 checkpoint conferences mm-hmm. instead of 3. I'm mm-hmm. even thinking of upping the percentage that attendance is worth.
Cool.
To
I love that.
30%. So mm-hmm. 50% is just showing up and 50% is the actual writing.
Yeah.
So those are considerations that I'm going to mull over
this
summer.
I look forward to talking about that more. I might follow your lead there.
I think most students get it, but I think it maybe would have, I think that putting the value on it on the front end mm-hmm. also sends that message more clearly. And so much happens during class time that you mm-hmm. just cannot get yeah. any other way, that I just think being there is half the, you know, it is half mm-hmm. and it should be half of what it's worth. But then I'm also trying to figure out, how do I make this work asynchronously?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's going to be probably a lot of venting uh-huh. from me in the next season.
So in addition to talking more about the experiment in an asynchronous environment, I think we're also planning next season to talk a bit more about literature's place in the composition classroom and like creative writing in the composition classroom.
Definitely, definitely. And that's where I think that part to me makes a lot of sense, even in the asynchronous environment. Mm-hmm. I think, you know, the poems, the stories, the narratives, the articles that we're having our students read, the podcasts we're asking them to listen to, I think those are all pretty engaging, and I've gotten a lot of positive feedback. So I think those will work really well, even in the asynchronous class. It's really just like that studio time and kind of that workshopping and those things that just feel more organic mm-hmm. in person. How does mm-hmm. that work so that students don't feel burdened by it, but that they're actually of value to the shaping of projects that they want to work on? And then I think the AI is going to have to become a bigger like discussion in, especially the asynchronous, because that is where I mm-hmm. notice it's kind of creeping in a little bit more than
definitely.
In the face-to-face.
Yeah, the students are more isolated. Mm-hmm. They probably have more confusion just in general mm-hmm. about what to do, mm-hmm. which is, I think, the feeling that drives students most to AI.
Yeah.
So
I think there was something else to your question that I might have
missed. Yeah, that's true. There might have been.
creative writing mm-hmm. and the place that that has, which is something, I don't know, I've been doing a lot of research about it.
Yeah.
So I'm ready.
I think we're going to hear a lot about that in our next season.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not perhaps going beyond our experiment and looking at other teachers and researchers' mm-hmm. thought into this.
Yeah, I think there's something to that philosophy, though. I mean, I, as someone who earned an MFA, you know, my my experience with learning how to write is so different than, you know, even just what I experienced as a college student in like an English 1A, 1B, 1C sequence.
Yeah.
There isn't a lot of writing instruction. It's here, do this type of essay, do this type of essay.
Yeah. And I got my English MA. It's not an MFA. I got my English MA. Asynchronously.
Oh, wow. I don't know why I didn't know that already. Yeah.
So maybe that's something we can talk about more.
Maybe that's why you don't like teaching online.
Yeah. It was a rough time.
Yeah. It's just how do you, I want to make sure there is that community, but I also don't want to force people to interact because I think sometimes students choose that mode because they prefer the isolation. I mean, I've had those students that just straight up say, like, I don't like talking to anybody. So, I don't know. That's kind of getting us off course a little bit, I think.
maybe a few other things that we'll focus in on next season, like aspects that we've maybe discussed before, but maybe more about writing with your students. I mean, that's a, didn't you just get a specific remark from a student about how much they loved that you write everything with them?
Yes. It was a student who was actually here using the podcast studio for her project. And she had invited two of her colleagues/mentors that she works with outside of Delgado. I feel like they work in a doctor's office or a dentist office or something like that. I'm sorry, I'm not probably representing that accurately. But her colleagues were complimenting and saying that they had heard so much about my class and that they really appreciated, how much my student was enjoying her experience. And then my student said, I really just love how you always do everything with us, that shows us that we can do it because you're doing it too.
Yeah.
And so I thought, okay, cool. I'm going to make sure I keep doing that then because it's, I think Ari was the one we were talking to the most about that and how you don't have to do everything. And sometimes you can't, but I feel like writing with them has been a game changer.
Yeah.
And you do it too, though.
Yeah,
don't you?
And I think it makes me a more productive writer. I mean, even if we call it experiments, and so I actually kind of have loved embracing that idea. This is just an experiment. There are no stakes in just writing something.
Yeah.
And if you consider yourself a writer, there's often a lot of pressure that anything you write has to be the work of a writer.
Right.
And so it's nice to write experiments with your students where there is no pressure that it has to be something that you would like slap your name on and put in a journal, I mean like a scholarly literary journal. Right. That's been really freeing. And this sort of connects with maybe another thing that we might talk more about where I guess as the experiment grows, it's growing into asynchronous. And we also are maybe trying to grow it into a more rhetoric based comp class.
Right.
And how we might do that. And I've just been dipping my toes into that. For example, we just read a play and talked about, the argument of the play.
And this is in English 102.
This is in English 102, right? Okay. The rhetoric class. So we're talking about the argument of the play. Mm-hmm. And then the experiment was then to compose a dramatic scene where you are presenting an argument in dialogue. And for me, going back to writing with the students, that there has been a play I've been wrestling with for like 8 years. And this was a great reason to sit down and try a new draft of the first scene and tried something really different with it. The students read it. They read each other's. Mm-hmm. Anyway, it's a great experience and it's helps me not only as a teacher, but as a writer, writing with the students. So that's something else we'll talk about.
Yeah.
More.
Yeah. Well, I look forward to that. Maybe we can even share some of our experiments from class.
I left that classroom that day saying, I also need to get Monica's eyes on this.
Oh, okay. So we'll have a workshop too, I guess. Yeah. But it's also, I think that writing with them is also what contributes to that sense of community. Like they knew I was getting ready. So we just gave this presentation at the LA Gems, brand new conference that our dean kind of spearheaded here at Delgado. It's Louisiana Gateway English and Math Success Symposium. Mm-hmm. I think I got that right.
The gems.
And we just gave a presentation on building community through collaborative assessment. And my students were aware of this last week. Mm-hmm. And so it was really sweet today when they came in. They were like, how was your speech? Which I thought it was funny they called it a speech. But, you know, I was like, oh, well, it was great. And like, thanks for, you know, remembering and asking how that went. And, that, you know, being like, I think it's good. I don't know. It's just good on so many different levels to participate in. Yeah.
That ties that, back in, of course, to like the community building that the experiment has really made made way for. Yeah.
Yeah. And I to kind of go back to what you were saying about the students getting to know each other better. I think that's been one of my favorite aspects of this is getting to know my students better in very real ways, and not in the way where I know that our students a lot of times like overshare, and we sort of feel like we're in this like therapist seat when we don't, you know, we're not, that's not our qualification, but not like not so much in that sense, but just in like what their interests are, you know, what they care about deeply, what they're trying to accomplish with their lives. This semester, I think I have a couple of students I know that they've just been really lost. They don't know. They're trying to figure it out. And both have told me that the opportunity to kind of choose their focus and their project really gave them that space to figure some things out, you know, in their personal lives that I think traditional curriculum, there wouldn't have really been room for that. So I really like that about it too, that it's like students are having meaningful experiences, which is one of the goals that we had in our initial decision to shake things up.
Yeah. Well, we started this semester and this episode with Jack Gilbert's Failing and Flying. It's something we had talked about as, I mean, coming back to that poem at the end of the semester. So I was in my office thinking about how that, trying to envision how that discussion would go. And I thought, okay, maybe in coming back to that same poem is not the best idea. So I got on the internet scrambling, you know, like 15 minutes before class, just switching gears, scouring Poetry Foundation. And I stumbled across a different poem, much shorter, by I believe a virtually unknown poet. It's called Icarus by E.L. Mayo. So I'm going to read this poem for us.
All right.
Beating his homemade wings against the sun, Icarus was clumsy. But wing-torn and plummeting toward the sea, though followed leisurely by hosts of sunny feathers drifting down, he found the fair arc of proportion, which is perpetual and cannot drown.
Love it.
Yeah. So I liked how almost aphoristic, is that the right word? Like an aphorism, like a, it's one sentence. Mm-hmm. I love that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, offered a great opportunity to talk once again about syntax with the class. This is all one sentence, but it's like very memorizable.
Mm-hmm.
And touching back to that, to the idea we started back with Failing and Flying in the first week, first day in one of my classes. Those last two lines, he found the fair arc of proportion. We really had to dive into that phrase.
Yeah, and we're going to have to do that Friday. I was looking at that poem today, thinking about it.
And sort of the goal of this one was to get them to think about the writing that they will leave behind.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And aiming for that fair arc of proportion once as a group we were able to figure out what is meant by that.
What were some of the definitions that your students came up with?
Well, we had to start with proportion, right? And proportion is about relative size. So eventually we came to, you know, that Icarus was just a kid. It was a small child, basically. But what he accomplished, flying high above the earth, was much greater than he is.
Right.
I guess that's where we were. And so achieving things that seem larger than us.
Yeah, I like that interpretation. I'm looking forward to what my students will have to say about that, that line in particular. Yeah. But I think just also, again, it just has that sentiment at the end that I think we want to resonate with our students, that there are these things that you can leave behind that are not going to experience the same kind of demise that, you know, we will, or that,
exactly.
you know.
But one of the things I love most about language and writing is that it will what I write will outlive me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, do we have any final thoughts today on this final episode, this beautiful spring day that we have?
Yeah. I'm feeling good. I guess that's my final thought. From compared to where I was at episode five or six.
Yeah,
I'm feeling pretty good.
Good.
And excited for chapter 3, I guess, semester 3 of this experiment.
Yeah, me too. And I'm looking forward to my conferences that are coming up. I think most of them for the 101 will start next week. But I'm excited to see how their projects have turned out after all the work they've put into them. And to just kind of have that celebration with each student on their triumphs this semester.
Great. Yeah. Well, thank you, Monica, for working with me.
Yeah, you too, Mason. It's been fun.
And
thank you,
listener.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of the English 101 Experiment. Special thanks to Christopher Nicotera, instructor of music business at Delgado Community College, for his recording assistance. All music heard during this episode comes from the Free Music Archive. Specific titles and artists are listed on the English 101 Experiment website.